for that prayer. I ask each of you just continue to pray as I stand before you tonight. If you have your Bible, I'd like to turn with me. I'd like to read to you tonight a verse, maybe passage from the book of Daniel, in Daniel chapter 3. You're probably reading quite a bit, so if you do have a Bible, if you get one, I surely encourage you to follow along as we're reading together. And just pray the Lord will stir our hearts up as we're looking at this passage to feed upon it and learn from it the things that the Lord has left on record for us. The things that were written aforetime were written for our learning. And I pray tonight the Lord will bless us with that in a way of preaching the gospel from this passage found in the Old Testament. Beginning in chapter 3, we read here, the setting is the children of Israel have been carried into captivity in Babylon. And they are under the judgment of God because of their rebellion and disobedience. God brought them into captivity for a period of 70 years. They are towards the beginning of that 70-year period in this captivity. Now, that will teach us a lesson already right there that God will chasten his children, and that his children, though they belong to him and he loves them dearly, the fact that he loves them will ensure that we will be chastened if we rebel and refuse to follow him and the instruction he's given us in his word. There are consequences for us who've been given light and understanding when we fail to walk in the understanding and the light that he's given. The Bible says that he who's been given much, there's much required, which means when the Lord has richly blessed you and enlightened you, he does require of us to walk in the light that he has given. And it's important that we're doing that. When we fail to do that, it can have an impact on us. It'll have an impact on our children, on our children's children. It can have an impact on those that are around us. So may the Lord bless us tonight to be faithful, to hear from his word, and then once we hear, not just to hear it and let it go, but be doers. In other words, put it into application in our lives. And we're to examine ourselves to see for sure that we're of the faith. Now, I don't say that in order to make you feel insecure. I want you to know this, that if you're a little child of God tonight, it isn't about what you did for the Lord to get you there. It's because the Lord chose you in him before the foundation of the world. Now, I want you to rest in what he did, in that he chose you. And those whom he chose, those whom he foreknew, he loved. And he sent Jesus to die for you. And when Jesus died for you, he washed every sin that you would ever commit, even the sins of doubt and unbelief that are with us right now as we sit in the pew or in the pulpit. He removed them from us as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered against us anymore, which secures our home in heaven, whether we do anything or not. That is a finished work. I don't want you to start trusting in anything that you have done, or that I would trust in anything that I have done that we could add to that, or anything we could do to take away from that, because if we did that tonight, we're going to go out of here really in fear. And you know who wants us in fear tonight? It's not the Lord. The Lord told us to fear not. The Lord would have us be delivered from our fear. It's the old adversary, the devil. Because if he can get us afraid, if he can get us doubting, if he can get us questioning whether God really did anything for us, if he can get us to do that, then he has an avenue of attack in every area of our life, which will cause us not to be what we're supposed to be of God's children and giving God the glory and the honor and the praise. He would not have us to be, the Lord would not have us to be puffed up, but he would have us trusting tonight. I hope you're trusting. There's a blessed place that you'll find when you trust. There's a blessed place that you'll find when you lean on him. There's a blessed peace that you'll have when you turn it over to him. There's a deliverance that you have that's beyond even your understanding, that I believe these three Hebrew young men found as they were in Babylonian captivity.
And they were brought into a position while they were in a strange land and among a strange people. God, even as he chastened the Jewish nation and the Jewish people, he had his little children there that he watched over and protected even as he chastened them. Isn't it good to know God is like a loving father who, though he chastens, he doesn't do it to hurt. He does it to help. And he does it to, and he's able. Can God take care of us and give us, can God provide a table in the wilderness? Can God provide us safety and protection in a strange land? And can God, will God do that for his children? He promised never to what? Never to leave us and never forsake us, so that we can boldly say, I will not fear what men shall do. I can trust and lean upon the Lord. The Lord is my help. The Lord is my strength. Okay, let's read the text. Daniel chapter 3, verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar. Big, long word, and he thought he was all that. And it's written here in my Bible in all capital letters, and it goes all the way across the whole column. Nebuchadnezzar. Kind of lays out exactly what he thought of himself. He was lifted up with pride. Now, he was brought down several times, but he was lifted up with pride. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits. 60 cubits is 30 yards at least. It's 90 feet tall. Imagine it, 90 feet tall, 30 yards, you know, a third of a football field tall. And this image of gold he put out, and he says, and was 60, and whose height was 60 cubits, and whose, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits, which is 9 feet. Okay, so we got that image of gold. And he set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. He didn't put it out somewhere where no one could see it. In other words, his pride wanted everybody to see it. He wanted to make it of gold so everybody could look at it. He's wanting everybody to see it, and it's not just an image, and I don't know exactly what the image of. It could have possibly been him, or it could have been someone else, or some other thing, but here was the problem. He not only wanted the image made, but he wanted everyone to bow down and worship him. He was the one that set it up. That means he put it and placed it there. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the province to come to the dedication of the image. And I want you to get this part. It says, which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Now, how did the image get there? Because he set it up. It didn't get up on its own. He wants to worship it, but it's a God that can't move unless you prop him up. It's a God that can't do anything. It's a God who can't see. It's a God who can't hear. It's a God, a little G-O-D. And the Bible had expressly told the Jewish people and had been given in the law in the Ten Commandments, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And that's a little G-O-D-S. You know why? Because there's only one capital G-O-D. There's only one God, and that's the living God. And that's who Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego worshipped. That is who they served. And though they had been carried into captivity, and though some would have told them, and probably they heard, if your God was so much, why are you here as servants to us? Why are you under this captivity? They understood they were there because God had placed a judgment upon them because they had been disobedient to the Lord. And they also understood from the prophet Jeremiah and other of the prophets that told them, for 70 years you're going to be in this captivity. And they knew they were going to do that because the God, the Most High God of heaven, had told them that. And they were not about to bow down to any image, whether Nebuchadnezzar set it up, whether anybody else set it up, because they were committed and they were trusting and serving in the living God. Who do we serve tonight? I hope and pray we trust in that same God they trusted in. That we recognize he's the only God. He's the only king. He's the life giver. He's the life sustainer. He's the one who's given me my eyesight. He's the one who's given me my hearing. He's the one who's given me my mental understanding. He's the one who's made my body. He's the one who protects me. He's my great physician. He's the one I need to go to for counsel. He's the one I need to go to for advice. He's the one I need in every area of my life in order to be whatever I'm supposed to be in this world. I need the Lord. And if I have Him, like the little girl said, the Lord is my shepherd, that's all I want. I wish I could tell you tonight that's where I'm at all the time. But there's a whole lot of times I'm leaning on my own understanding, running my own way and running my own course. And I need this instruction from God's Word to remind me that there's a God who can take care of me in the worst and the most difficult of circumstances. Listen, it was not popular and a good place to be as a Jewish boy in Babylon. There was a whole lot of temptations there. We'll look at the world today and think, boy, it's hard to live and act and behave like we ought to in this world. There's so much out there that causes us to go this way or that way. There's so many things that kind of get in the way. Is the Lord that took care of them in this day big enough to take care of us here in the year 2023? I say to you, absolutely, unequivocally, He is. He has not changed. Our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we not only can depend on Him, we absolutely need to depend on Him with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. As the hymn writer said, oh, for grace to trust Him more. That's what I want tonight. Nebuchadnezzar got the kings, got all of those, and among them were those three Hebrew young men that had been brought to a place because they didn't want to eat the king's meat. And though they were looked at as some of the special among the Jews because of their lineage and how Nebuchadnezzar had brought them to be brought in a place of leadership, even in Babylon, the Lord had brought them favor. They had found grace already in the eyes of the Lord, and they'd been lifted up in a place. So when these folks were called in, as you read in verse 49, Daniel requested of the king, and of chapter 2, it says, then Daniel requested of the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. So they had already been brought into favor, even in this strange land. You believe the Lord can take care of you in this world? I said, just look at our lives. Look at the homes we live in. Look at our family. Look how the Lord has taken care of us. Look how the Lord has provided for us. In the natural affairs of life, His watch care has been there. Would there be one of us tonight that would not dare sing with the hymn writer, the Lord has been so good to me, and I want to praise His name. I hope that's how each of us feel. The princes, the governors, the captains, verse 3, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the province were gathered together unto the dedication of the image of Nebuchadnezzar the king. And get it again, it says, unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And the reason that's important to see is because it's written in here over and over again to let us know that this God is no God, and the gods of this world are no God. Though men might set them up, though they might look beautiful in the sense of the natural setting, I'm sure this image had all the physical beauty. It was made of gold, 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide, and set in a plane where everybody could see it, and it looked like everybody was bowing down. What would it hurt? Just for a little while, we got music playing, we got everything blaring and going, the emotions are running, and then along with the positive things they try to do, they come in and say, if you don't bow down, a horrible thing is going to happen to you. In other words, it seemed like every force that could come against you to go the wrong way. You ever feel like everything's working to make you want to go the wrong way? I'm telling you, there's an adversary in this world who is active, that if he could tonight, he would sift you and sift me as wheat. But the good news is we have a Savior who said how He is going to be, He's praying for us, how that our faith would fail not, and that we might be able to stand. And the very proof and evidence that we're able to stand are shown right here in three Hebrew young men that were in dire circumstances and were faced with the very reality that they may indeed have to give their lives for the faith that the Lord had given them. We don't know what's coming in this world. I know it doesn't look good, does it? Does it look good to you? It does to me. Doesn't look like things are getting better. Matter of fact, the more that those folks stand, that men stand for what's right, it seems like the harder things are going to get for them. And the Bible says that the times are perilous and they're going to wax worse and worse. They're not going to get better. One day the Lord's coming and it's going to all be better. But until that time, things could get hard and difficult. But I say to you tonight, let us be of good cheer. Let us not let that discourage us. Maybe when we see these things come, we see that the time is coming, we can in our hearts say, oh, lift up your heads. Why? Because you're what? Your redemption draweth nigh. Y'all believe that? And that ought to make you happy. You ought to be rejoicing in the fact that one day we're going home to be with the Lord. And until that time, the God who took care of these boys can take care of us. Then a herald cried aloud, verse 4, to you it is commanded, O people, nation, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, boy, could you hear the band roaring? Could you hear the rhythms going? Could you hear the motions the physical emotions being attacked? Could you see all of the lure that the world would have you want to just go ahead and bow down? Look, the emotions seem to be good. This looks like a good time. Everybody's having a good time. Why would you want to go against the grain? Why would you want to stand up against this? Because the Bible says this. Because the Word of God says this. Thou shalt have no God before me, and you're not to make any graven image. Both the first commandment and the second commandment. Clearly laid out. Brethren, I say to you tonight, we have in the Word of God, in the New Testament, a clear a direction given to us on how you and I are supposed to live in this world. If we ignore it, it'll be to our detriment. And if we follow it and walk in it, we'll find a peace that passes understanding, even if we're brought to the place our lives are threatened or even taken. But God cannot fail. Verse 5 says that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship. That's a pretty, very important word. What is it about here? Worship. False worship. He says you worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king, here it is again, has set up. So who set this up? Just a little old puny man. Though he had a big long name, though he might have thought himself something a little later on, you can read in the chapters that follow this, a little later on you'll see this man brought to the place where he was made to realize what he was without the Lord. You see, the only reason he had any power at all is because the Lord had put him on the throne. And I want you to know the men who are in power in this world today, though they may think they're there and they're all that, in the sight of God, they're just a puny little grasshopper that can't do a thing, and the Lord has suffered them or allowed them or placed them to be there. And I don't understand all the purposes in that, but I know this, God's in control. Y'all believe that? Amen. I believe he's in control. And it may be for the same chastisement. You think our nation needs some direction? You think the fact that little babies are murdered in their mother's womb every day in this nation by the hundreds and thousands, and we have all that going on in this world, that God just thinks that's going to be okay? Do you think he's just lukewarm like we are sometimes? No, we ought to be on our knees. Not only about that, but so many other things. And with me, I've got a lot to deal with right here, don't you? I've got a lot to deal with right here. God, I say tonight, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Lord, help us. Do you believe if we ask him, he'll help us? Do you believe if we seek him, we'll find him? Do you believe if we knock, he'll open unto us? He said he would. Do you believe he keeps his word? Do you believe he's a good father? I'll tell you how good he was. He's good enough that he died, sent his son to die for you. And while you were yet his enemies, Jesus came and as a friend of sinners gave his life on the cross so that one day we will be with him in heaven in immortal glory. And he says, how shall he not with him also freely give us what? A few things? No, he said all things. You know what things? Everything you and I need to serve him as we should and all as his children. Just don't get wrapped up in the music. Don't get wrapped up in all the stuff. He says, and whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that shall the same hour be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Now I'll tell you, that's where it gets really difficult. In other words, it comes in both ways. There's a positive that they try to use to get you to go this way. The world is using that all the time to detract and cause you to, you know, it's like a little enticement, like a carrot out in front of a mule in order to get you to go this way. The devil uses those things just to get you to go this way. And then along with that, he comes with the other, that if you don't do this, there's going to be grievous consequences where I'm going to hurt you physically or I'm going to do this to you, and threatenings. And all these three Hebrew children could see is that there's a God who's bigger than Nebuchadnezzar. There's a God who's bigger than the fiery furnace. There's a God who's bigger than anything else. I believe they found a secret place. Don't you? I do. Those who dwell in the secret place of the Most High. They felt the covering of the shadow of his wings on him. They knew that he was able, and they trusted that he was able, and they stood in that faith. And because of that and what they did, and the reason they did it is because God had put that faith in them. And then they used that which God had given them and trust in him, and God kept them in the storm. Are you resting tonight in that? I pray that you are. But I'm resting in him, and I'm leaning upon him. Psalm 91 says, believe. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That's not an if, that's not a maybe, that's not a might. I believe these brethren had found that sweet secret place of the Most High because God had showed it unto them. And you know how they found it? Look at verse 2, because it'll tell you how you found it. It says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. You know what those three Hebrew children heard when Nebuchadnezzar said, you better bow down or we're going to burn you up? He said, they heard, he is my refuge. You know what they heard when the music played? That we're not to go that way because he is my refuge. And he says, and he is my fortress. He's a wall of fire around me. He is around me as walls and bulwarks. He's going to protect me in the storms of this life. And that's where we are. Every one of God's little children need to hear that you have a Lord who can help you at school, my friend. As you go and face the battles and troubles that you have to face, he can help you and take care of you. He can help us in our life. Not only can he will as we trust in him. He says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. Get this part. My God. Sounds like the Lord is my shepherd, doesn't it? And then he says, in him will I trust. In him will I trust. No matter what they do, they can throw me in a den of lions, in him I will trust. They can throw me in a fiery furnace, in him I will trust. They can take my job, in him I will trust. They can threaten my life, in him I will trust. The doctor comes in and says, this is the news, in him I will trust. When the good things come in your life, you can say, in him I will trust. And when the bad things come, and the difficult things, because you're going to have some of them, in him I will trust. Is he good in the storm? Absolutely. Is he good when the clouds are clear, where there are no clouds in the sky? Absolutely. He's the same every day. Circumstances change all the time, but you can say this every day, in him I will trust. And when you trust in him, there's a promise that you shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Verse 4 says, he shall cover thee with his feathers. Psalm 91. You see a chick go underneath their mama. You see these birds that gather the little ones under them and they put them under there. And you see that picture. Listen, that's God's little children that are under there. And there's the Lord covering them with his feathers. He's got us under his feathers. Listen, the Nebuchadnezzar said we're going to burn up. But God said he's going to cover me with his feathers. Who you think's going to win that battle? Little puny Nebuchadnezzar or the God who made the heavens and the earth? Tell you, when the Lord finished with Nebuchadnezzar, he was out in the field eating grass like an oxen, with his fingernails growing, and he was a mess. I can tell you that. And all the forces in this world can't stand against the God that we serve tonight. I'm thankful our salvation is not in the hand of a weak God who's begging and pleading and hoping we'll do what we need to do in order to save us, but who has saved us to the uttermost, and that God is able to take care of us no matter what we face in this world. Makes me feel a whole lot better about little River coming up in the world, or my little Elliot coming up in the world, or little Piper Jane coming up in this world. I get scared when I think about what they're going to face. But I know the God that was with me in the 70s and in my life is the same. And he's able and will be able to take care of every one of his children. And when we trust in him, listen, he cannot fail. That fiery furnace didn't even put the smell of smoke on them. Matter of fact, all it did was burn off the roof. Set them free. Then a herald cried aloud. And we're coming down to verse 5, verse 6. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. I believe you can almost hear it from the mouths of these three Hebrew children. In him I will trust. In him will I trust. Therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Every time it tells you what that image is. Just set up by some man. Listen, men are setting up things all the time. But God is where we follow. God is to whom we look. We don't want to follow what some man has set up. We want to follow what the Lord has done and what the Lord has told us to do. In him I will trust. Not in that image Nebuchadnezzar set up. It's no more powerful than Nebuchadnezzar. If he set it up, he could tear it down. He's bigger. He's made a God like himself that has no power or no ability. And there are gods many out in this world that many people are trusting in, and they have no power and they have no ability, and God's little children are not to bow down to any of them. No matter what, positively or negatively, we are enticed to do. Verse 8, wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and the dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. But and whosoever falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And then they pointed out in verse 12, when everybody else was down, somebody was still standing. You know who will stand out in this world when everything's going one way? Is God's little children walking in the right way. You're going to stand out. It'll be a benefit to others of God's children who see you doing the right thing. It'll cause them to glorify God and be an encouragement to them. But there'll be a world that looks at you and hates you because of it. You'll stand out like a sore thumb. You think we're standing out today as this world wax worse and worse? This little church, the old Baptist church, those that stand for the truth are going to look more and more peculiar and look less and less like the world. And you'll stand out, and you'll stand out in a way that will bring to you persecution. That's what it brought to them. Jesus said, don't be surprised when they hate you, because they hated me. I don't want the world to hate me. But I'll tell you this, if we follow the Lord, those that hate the Lord are going to hate you. Therefore, but what are we going to do? In Him I will trust. We're going to lean on Him. He says, there are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon. And he names them Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And really, once you get down to this, it's about jealousy right here. That's what's going on. The Lord had blessed them to be in a position that these men didn't want them to be in. And they're really not concerned about what they're doing. They just want them pointed out because they got the job I wanted. So I want to do whatever I can to hurt them. And they stood up for what was right. And because of that, persecution was coming their way. And he says, O king, these men, O king, have not regarded thee. Notice how they're talking to the king. In other words, they didn't pay any attention to you, O king. How do you think that made this old prideful king feel? They didn't pay any attention to me. Who are these men? They serve not thy gods. How could they dare not serve my gods? And no, worship the golden image again that thou hast set up. You know why this image was special to him? Because he set it up. And then Nebuchadnezzar in his rage. Sounds like man, doesn't it? I wish I could tell you it doesn't sound like me, but sometimes that rage pops up in all of us. In his rage and his fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Again, there it is. It says, now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. In other words, it'll be all right. I'll forget it. Just do it. Right now, just do what I tell you, and it'll be okay. But then he says, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fire furnace. And then he asks this silly question. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hand? Boy, he thought he was something. You know, the world today, he thinks there's something. There's a God, though. I'll tell you who that God is. He's the God of the Bible. He's the God of the Old Testament. He's the God of the New Testament. He's the Almighty God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He is the one who neither gets weary, nor does he faint. He's the one who knows and understands all things. He's the great I am. He's the one who's about to deliver these men from a fiery furnace and show Nebuchadnezzar exactly who he was. He's the great God of heaven. He's the one who loved us so much that he sent his son to die for us. He's the son that came and died on the tree of the cross and paid the sin debt for us. He's the one that was able to conquer not only death, but hell and the grave and rise victorious. He's the one who's seated on the right hand of the Father. He's the one who did all that was necessary for the salvation of his people. He's the one who takes care of us every single day that we live, even when we don't have a clue that he's taking care of us. Who is that God that is able to deliver you out of my hands? And I love the answers here. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar.
Could you try again?
Don't look at your watch and talk. O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. In other words, we're not afraid to answer. We're not even thinking about it. You know why? Because I, in him, will I trust. That's why. We're not careful to answer. We're not full of care about answering thee in this matter. Notice his words. Their words. If it be so, that is, if it's God's will. If it be so, if it's God's will, our God whom we serve, is able. We believe that tonight. Is he able? He's able to deliver us. He will deliver us from the burning fire furnace. In other words, we don't know whether he's going to deliver us from the fire furnace. We don't know that. We know that if it's his will, he'll deliver us. Do you believe he's able to deliver us from diseases in this world? I do. Do you believe he's, do we always know it's his will? No, we don't know that. But if it's his will, he will be able to, he will deliver us. We don't know whether we're going to have to go through this or that before we die, but we know this. If it's his will, he's able to deliver us. And if we trust in him, he will take care of us. And that's what they're about to tell you. We don't know that he's going to deliver us from this fiery furnace, but we do know this. I get this part. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. In other words, we don't know whether he's going to do it through the fire furnace or not. We might burn up in the fire furnace. But I'm telling you, we're going to be free of you, O king. He will deliver us out of thine hand. He can do it in life, which he chose to do, or he could do it in death. Do y'all believe that death is a defeat for the Lord? No, I'll tell you what. For God's little children, it's a precious thing in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. For to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Those of God's little children with terminal illnesses that have been told that I'm leaving this world, they're in a win-win situation because they can be healed by the power of God and be delivered from that if it's God's will to do so. Or they could be healed by the power of God and be delivered out of this world to be with him in glory. And though they don't know whether they're going to be healed here in time or not, they do know this: my healing's coming. You know why? Because he healed us from all our diseases. That means he can heal me here in time, if it's his will to do so. If not, he can deliver me even in a better way out of this old world to be with him in glory. Listen, we're going to leave this world sometime or another. Unless the Lord comes, we're going to go to him in death. And when his sin is finished, it's going to bring forth death. But little child of God, don't be afraid. Fear not, because the moment we die and leave this world, we close our eyes in death here, we see his glorious face, and we get to sing to him and praise him and honor him and hug him and love him and show him our gratitude and our thanksgiving in a perfect way. Right now, we can only do it in part. Sometimes I get so overwhelmed with it, I just get so happy about it. I don't want to ever leave. I don't want to ever stop. I just want to stay right in the church of the living God, and I don't want to go anywhere else. I hate to take the parting hand and go home. One day we won't have to. And in my best efforts to praise him, I still right here feel that I haven't reached nearly what I ought to say and do. One day I'll say it the right way. I'll do it the right way, because this old body of flesh, I won't be in the way anymore. That'll be good, won't it? And God's little children, get this, that have gone home to be with the Lord, they're already enjoying it. There's not any sadness in glory. They're rejoicing in the goodness and the mercy and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're giving him honor and praise and glory. He says, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fire furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. And then he says, but if not, that means if it's not God's will to deliver us from the fire furnace, be it known unto thee, O king. Hear this, O king. I'm going to trust the Lord, O king. Hear this, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image, get this again, which thou hast set up. We're not going to serve your God. And guess what old Nebuchadnezzar did because of that? He got full of fury. He was a little upset before, but now he's a mess. Isn't that, don't men look silly when they lose it? They look silly. He's full of fury. And the scripture says the form of his visage was changed. I imagine his face got red, his eyes probably bugged out. He probably was foaming at the mouth. He got so mad and upset, he was just throwing, he was throwing a tantrum. He's throwing a fit. How dare them acknowledge me and give me the praise and give me the honor and that direction. God, I believe he was a little child of God. I don't know when the Lord really worked on him. I know later on he writes some wonderful things about the God of heaven. And I believe the Lord touched his heart. I do know this. Even God's little children can act all kinds of silly in this world when they lose it. Let's say it this way, can't we? See, you're getting a little personal now, aren't you? Yeah, I am. Can't we? It's easy to read it and say, well, that's how Nebuchadnezzar acted, but it's really hard to see it when you've done it. But we can. And it's usually about something like this. Somebody hurt my pride. Somebody didn't acknowledge what I... Somebody didn't give me credit. Somebody didn't point out what I did. Somebody didn't pat me on the back. Somebody didn't acknowledge me. You know what we deserve? The wages of sin is death. You know what God's given us? The promise of heaven and immortal glory. You know what it cost? Jesus Christ dying on the cross and paying my sin debt. That's what it cost. He took my pain and my agony in hell and removed it from me. So one day I could be with him. And for me to throw a little fit over somebody not acknowledging me in any way, even if I just get a little puffed up, it's too much, isn't it? Y'all know it is. There was Nebuchadnezzar. He got so mad he didn't even look like himself. And it was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, which meant he really didn't think of them in the way that he thought of them before. In other words, he's ready to kill them. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. That means that it was ever seen to be heated before. 7 times hotter than it was ever heated before. He said, you get it as hot as you can. I want them gone. Why? Why, Nebuchadnezzar? Because they trusted in God. And they wouldn't move. They wouldn't change. They wouldn't bend. They wouldn't bow. They wasn't going to change. They're going to trust in the Lord. He was going to shelter them. They believed what he said, that he would cover them and he would protect them. And the God who made the promise to them kept his promise. That's the wonderful news. And he commanded the most mighty men, didn't want to take a chance, that were in his army to bind, and that word is to bind. They wrapped them up in rope. They tied them up. And he bound them, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they cast them, and to cast them into a burning fiery furnace, heated 7 times hotter than it was ever seen to be heated. And these men were bound in their coats, and their hosen, and their hats, their turbans, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In other words, the very men, the most mighty men, that were charged with throwing them in there, this furnace was hot enough that it killed them, not being in it, but getting close to it. It slew them. There they are cast down into that fiery furnace. It says, and these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Just picture it. They're going into that burning fiery furnace. The men that threw them in there burned up, died. And they're in there. You would just say, naturally speaking, it's over. But you know what? They were trusting in the living God, the Most High. And they were right in the middle of that fiery furnace, dwelling in the secret place that's provided for God's little children when we trust in Him. I believe they were in perfect peace. I don't believe they were troubled a bit. I believe His hand was consoling them and comforting them. I believe they felt the presence. As a matter of fact, we don't have to question it. The Bible tells us. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished. That means he's astonished. He's looking over there. And he says, and he rose up in haste, and he spake and said to his counselors, did not we cast 3 men bound? I love to think about 3 men bound. That's how they went in. Into the midst of the fire. And they answered and said unto the king, true, O king. And he answered and he said, lo, I see, get this, 4 men loose. Isn't that good? You know what we are without the Lord? We're bound. We can't do a thing. We're helpless. The world's, we are the charge of the world. We can't fight against the Satan on our own. We can't fight against the world on our own. We can't do a thing on our own. By ourselves, we can't do anything. We're just like them three men bound. But I'm telling you this, when the fourth man comes, when the Lord Jesus Christ manifests his presence, as he did here, and that's who it was, there's four men loosed, and he says, get this. They went in bound, but I see them now. They're not bound anymore. They're loose, and what are they doing? They're walking. Walking where? In the midst of the fire, in the midst of the trouble, in the midst of the problem, in the midst of the difficulty. They're walking in the fire, and they have no hurt. You know why they have no hurt? Because the fourth man there was protecting them. He was a wall of fire about them. He was their pavilion. He was their protection. He was their everything. And not only was he their everything, he's my everything, and he's your everything. And they have no hurt. So who is that fourth man? Well, Nebuchadnezzar was blessed to know who it was, and we got it in the Word of God. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. We have an Old Testament manifestation of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Before he had come in his bodily form, born in of a virgin, but here he appears in the Old Testament because he's the one who was with God in the beginning, who was verily God, who is one with God, the everlasting Son to the everlasting Father. And here he manifests his presence in protecting one of his little children who've been mistreated by the world, and he's there taking care of them. And then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fire furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And now he's talking different. He says, ye servants of the Most High God. He says, oh, there's a Most High God. Come forth and come hither. And then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire, and the princes and the governors and the captains and the kings and the counselors being gathered together saw these men upon, get this, whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. They didn't even have the smell of fire. You know, you don't have to be around a fire very long to get the smell of it. You can be around a campfire, and then you come into the house, somebody says, where you been? I can smell that. The smell of it is there. You don't even have to get close. You just get, just the smoke will get on you. But I'm telling you, they didn't even have the smell of it. You know why? Because they were protected by the one who was there, the fourth man who had loosed them, the one that was the Lord Jesus Christ, the God of heaven that protected them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed. Oh, he's changed now. Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him. Get that. That did what? That trusted in him. In him I will trust. And had changed their king's words. That means what I said was going to happen didn't happen. And that happens all the time in this world. What men say, they think it's going to happen, but that's not going to happen. Men are saying all kinds of things today. I'm telling you what's going to happen. What God has said in his word is going to happen. God's word is going to happen. And yielded their bodies. They were willing to die, that they might not serve or worship any god except their own God, which, by the way, is the only God there is. Therefore, he said, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill. Do you think that had anything to do with the protection of the Jewish nation as they were in Babylon? You think that had any impact? Oh, you better believe it. Can you imagine maybe the persecution that they were already enduring there? And now, at least, he could have gone, Father, but yet, what a blessing it was that he would make a decree that you can't talk against our God anymore. Can you imagine how much they had to endure? What a deliverance that was, because three brethren were blessed to stand up faithful. Did it have an impact on others? Do you think this little church has an impact in the community that it's set? I say it does. You think you have an impact as you go out into this world? I pray that you do. I pray that I do. May the Lord help us to let our light shine. He says, because there is no other God that can deliver out after this thought. After this thought. I want to read real quick now. I'm going to get out of the way. Notice his question at the beginning. He says, and who is that God that should deliver you out of my hands? I'm telling you, God showed him who he was, didn't he? He comes up at the end and he says, there is no other God that can deliver out of this thought. In other words, I got my little gods, but they can't do what this God's got. I'll tell you who. The God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then the king promoted Shadrach. And listen, what they meant to do is tear down God's little children. And what did he do? What did God turn it out to do? He turned it right around. You'll see this throughout the Bible. What men try to do to hurt you, God will turn around and make a blessing to you. The Lord will protect his people. God will take care of you. King promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Is this an account of three men that did something special so that God would bless them? Or is this an account of God working in the lives of three brethren in a way of grace that allowed them to be something meaningful and beneficial to him and to his people? I'm saying it's the latter of those. The world talks about a God who needs your help. The Bible tells us of a God who is our help. And because he is our help, we can do all things through Christ which strengthens us. When you have a mind to pray, remember me and God bless you.